Matthew chapter 5, and let's look together at verse number 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I'd like to bring a message tonight entitled from verse 16, "Let your light so shine." Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us for these next few minutes to set aside thoughts of everything else in our life and to focus on you and your word. And God, I pray through the preaching of your word tonight, as we just look at this passage and dissect it and understand how it applies to our life, that you would speak to us on an individual basis. Lord, I pray tonight that you would both inspire and instruct us in how to shine for you. And I pray that we together as an army, a church family, would shine brightly in our community, being used of you to make a difference, to bring people to you, and ultimately to see their lives changed. Lord, we pray that you bless this time and accomplish your will in it. And we'll praise and thank you and give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ was the master at using the simple things of life to illustrate and explain profundity, and complex lessons in which he was teaching were often described or illustrated using very simple, very common things. And here the Lord is challenging these followers to be light and to let their light shine. And light is a great illustration of what a Christian should be in our society and in our culture. And we typically don't think of the benefits of light when we're enjoying the light. In fact, we had a service this summer, and Dr. Getch was preaching, and it was in the morning, and he was preaching the Word of God, and he came to the conclusion of the message, and he was giving the invitation, and we all had our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and he was asking for folks to respond in questions of how the Lord had worked in their life. And right in the middle of that prayer, every light in this room went out. And only as Dr. Getz could, he just didn't skip a beat. I mean, he just kept praying, and people kept raising their hands, and I mean, he just kept perfect order. And within a few seconds, the lights got back on, and we continued the invitation to the service, and come to find out there was an accident, and one of the light poles out here had been run into. But we don't think of the need that we have for light until we don't have light, and then we quickly understand that we need light. We lived in the country back up in Northern California, and we did not have city water and some of those types of things, and it would not be uncommon in a bad storm to lose your power. In fact, one time we went 8 days without power, but in that scenario, when you don't have power and you're living on a well, it means you don't have water. So the blessing about working at a church is they have a baptistry, and so you can get there early and get your shower. No, I'm teasing, buddy. But you begin to understand what a blessing light is when you go without it for a while. And there's no doubt that we live in a world that needs light today. There's no time even needed tonight to understand the fact that our society and our culture is in need of light. It's a dark place, and God commands you and I, let your light so shine. And tonight I just want to look at this passage and understand what is it that God expects of us, and then how can we accomplish that to his honor and to his glory. First of all, I want you to notice in this passage the proclamation for shining. He says in verse number 14, "Ye are the light of the world." And then verse number 16, "Let your light so shine before men." God says, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine." J.C. Riley said, "Of all things created, light is the most useful. It was the first thing that God called into being." In Genesis 1 and verse 3, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." And we know that light is brought here by God. It is a creation of God. And it is indeed most useful, and how thankful we are for it. We know that Jesus Christ was the light. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so God created light. Jesus was the light as he was here, ministering here on the earth. And now, while Jesus has ascended into heaven and is preparing a home for all those who believe in him, we, in his absence, are that light. That's what he's saying in this passage. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. This is God's desire of us. Why? Well, first of all, we see the description of society. He says in verse number 14, ye are the light of the world. Now, the very fact that light is needed means that it is a dark place. And we know that the world in which we live in today is a place that is very dark spiritually, that is very dark morally. We see the direction that culture is set on. We live in a day prophesying the scriptures when that which is evil is being called good, and that which is good is being called evil, and we celebrate anything and anyone that defies God's way. We just think it's the greatest thing in the world. We'll do all kinds of goofy stuff to welcome the Pope the last couple of days. In America, while we celebrate all of these decisions that have been anti-God and anti-God's word, it's a place of spiritual and moral darkness. The Bible says in Acts 28, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified of faith that is in me. To open their eyes, it's a spiritually dark place. The Bible says in Romans 2:19, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. The world is in darkness, and they need a guide. They need someone who will shine brightly. But what a blessing when somebody out of the darkness comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. For the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And what a blessing it is, even in this room tonight, to have people in the last 12 months that somebody came to your life when it was in the midst of darkness and invited you to an old-fashioned Baptist church, and you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you placed your faith and trust in Christ, and now God has begun to transform your life. God says, I want you to shine because there's a need for that light in the world, a desperate need indeed. But then we see the description of the saint. In verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the real force of this statement is that ye and ye alone are the light of the world. God's not looking for the famous. God's not looking for the sought after. God's not looking for the talented, although we have some of that in this church, and thank the Lord for it. But God is looking at you and I, everyday, normal, common people, nothing extraordinary about us, except God through us, as we heard preached this morning. But God is looking at us to be the light of the world. It's been said in verse 14, we have surely one of the most astounding and extraordinary statements about Christians that was ever made. It is one of those statements which should always have an effect on us and making us lift up our head, causing us to realize once more what a remarkable and glorious thing it is to be a Christian. And what a blessing it is tonight to know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. What a joy it is tonight to know that heaven will be our eternal home. What a blessing it is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And as we face life challenges and trials and troubles, to know we'll never face them alone because He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. But with that gift comes a responsibility. Our position and privilege as being a child of God brings with it a command to shine. And part of our duties as a Christian is to be a prism by which the Lord can shed the gospel light to a dark and dying world. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. God says, I want you to shine in the world, and ye are the light. You're the hope that God has. But then notice in this passage, secondly, the pattern for shining. I'm thankful in the Word of God that God does not just tell us what to do, but that God shows us how to do it. I don't know about you, but when there's a project to be done, I don't mind admitting that I like the instructions. I like getting it right the first time. I like doing it in the order that it's supposed to be done and having it be completed according to the manufacturer's specifications. And God says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Make a difference in this culture, in this society, however dark it may be. But then God provides for us a pattern to follow after, an example to see, some instruction to understand how are we to accomplish this. And notice at verse 14, he goes on to say, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that are in the house. And here we see two distinct patterns for how we are to shine. First of all, we see a city on a hill. Now, as the Lord is preaching here from the Mount of Beatitudes, the city of Tiberias would be clearly visible along the hillside looking to the south. And Tiberias was built upon the high hills rising above the southwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it was obvious to be seen in the daytime, and certainly at night as it was lit up, it was a brilliant sight from very far away. And the Lord would gesture there and he would say, you are to shine just as this city on a hill. A city on a hill is a very conspicuous sight. It is very easy to see. It is something that we could reference from quite a distance away. And at night, its lights would be seen from a great distance. And Jesus says, just as that city on a hill, just as it's an easy view from many vantage points and from a great distance, that's what I want your light to be like as a Christian and to shine. Nobody should ever doubt whether or not you and I are a child of God. God says, I want your light to shine like a city on a hill. I want it to be super obvious. I want it to be known all the time, everywhere, with whomever, that you are a child of God. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God says, I want you to be peculiar. I want you to be easily picked out of a crowd. I want you to be known, identified, characterized as a child of God at all times. Let your light so shine. How? Like a city on a hill. May it be obvious that you are a child of God. And boy, as Christians, as God's people, our faith should be pronounced in a very distinct way. We should have convictions that are dogmatic, and how thankful we are for a preserved copy of the Word of God that we can read, that we can come to church and we can hold, and we can hear it taught, and we can hear it preached, and we can derive from the Scriptures convictions, guidelines that structure our life and help us to know how to live. And we should have those as God's people, and it would help us in our light to shine as it should. Our service should be energetic. And what a blessing it was this week to co-labor together as a church family and just serving our community and loving people and giving them a gesture of love and letting them know that more than we love them, Jesus Christ loves them, and he desires to make a difference in their life. And our faith should be obvious as well. We are to shine as a city on a hill. It is to be a very obvious thing that we are a child of God. God blessed me with my wife a little over 14 years ago. And like any smart man in this room, I will readily admit that I married way over my head. My wife is by far my better half. But I want to tell you something. My wife likes it when I live in a way that it is very obvious that I'm married. It would not bode well for me for somebody to meet my wife and I in the course of life and to say, oh, you're married. That would be a rough night at the Rule household. I don't know where I would be, but I would be someplace for sure. Why? Because if I am married, if I am committed to Susanna, if I stood at a wedding altar and I said, I do till death do us part, and to you alone, then every facet of my life and every corner of the way that I live and every interaction that I have, it should be obvious that I'm married. And it should be obvious in every facet of my life that I'm a child of God. Nobody should ever run into me in church and say, "Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, you go to church?" Because we had taken that light, but it was not shining. And Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world." Listen, we can spend all day talking about how dark it is. And it's dark. I'm with you. It's bad. But here's what God says. Okay, go shine. You don't like how dark it is? You don't like the climate of the culture? You don't like the recent Supreme Court decisions? You don't like this? You don't like that? And I don't either. But we can either sit around and talk about, "Boy, it's getting really dark. Boy, it's really dark now. Wow, I've never seen it this dark before. Man, I don't..." We can either do that all day long, or we can say, "Hey, let's just get our light out and let it shine. And let it shine like a city on a hill. I mean, as bright as ever shined before. As obvious as it could be. We love God and we're living for Him." A city that's on a hill. Jesus says, shine like that. But then shine like a candle in the house. Taking the candle and putting it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And the second pattern here also emphasizes the fact that it is to be obvious and conspicuous. The word candlestick in our text means a lampstand. It's taking a candle, a lighted candle, a vessel or a lamp, if you will, and then getting it elevated so that it can illuminate the room in which it is in. And it's stressing the fact that you and I are to shine in a way that it is not covert, it is not secret, but it is obvious. We are a child of God. And I believe as the Lord teaches this Sermon on the Mount, and as the Lord begins to stress the importance of ye are the light of the world, let your light so shine like a city on a hill and like a candle in the house. You need to let your light so shine both publicly and privately. It needs to be as strong at home as it is anyplace else. Because oftentimes the reason we can't get like a city on the hill and let our light so shine like God wants us to is because the truth of the matter is it's been a while since it's been lit at home. There's no candle in the house. There's no distinctness within the four walls of the home. Our children are not seeing us have a witness for God in community and being involved in a Restart Community project and knocking on a door and inviting somebody to Restart Sunday, because the truth of the matter is the candle's been a little dim at home. And Jesus says, "I want your light to shine like a city on a hill, but like a candle in the house." I want it to be consistent both in public and in private. I want it to be something that people who don't know you benefit from. But I want it to be something that the people who know you the best benefit from. That's the kind of light that God wants you and I to have. A candle in the house. We must have strong homes. America is in need of revival today. And if we're going to have revival, I do believe it is the local church that God will use. But here's what I believe. I believe strong local churches are comprised of strong biblical families. And if we're really going to make an impact in this Antelope Valley and Lancaster and the Palmdale, if we're really going to send missionaries all over the world, if we're really going to see the earth and the world and the people in it shaked with the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the faith of the people at Lancaster Baptist, it is going to be because we got some daddies who get up early in the morning and get in the Word of God and get on their knees before God and pray that God will use them to lead their own family in the way of the Lord.
Amen.
And from the basis of a strong home, developing a strong church and a strong witness for the Lord. He says, "I want you to let your light shine like a city on a hill and a candle in the house." But then thirdly in our text, notice the preventing of shining. He says in verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." God says your light is not being lit to be hidden. Your light is not being lit to be hidden under a bushel. He says, "I want you to shine. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine like a city on a hill, like a candle in the house, both in public and in private. Let it shine for the glory of God. But don't prevent your light from shining."
I see tonight the ridiculousness of preventing the shining. Christ teaches, listen, folks don't light a candle to hide it. Nobody lights their candle to hide it under a bushel. Nobody lights their candle to conceal it. Nobody in the midst of a dark place says, oh, let me get the light, and then bring the light to the dark place, but not use it, not turn it on, or light it and then hide it, that we may not benefit from its use. And the principle here that Christ is teaching is, listen, you should not be concealing the fact that you are a Christian. It's ridiculous. Why would somebody light a candle and then hide it? Why would somebody know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and then hide it? Literally, in portions of their life, it not even be known, they know the Savior. That they know Jesus Christ. That they are a Christian. Jesus says, that's not what men do. Men don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel. It's anti-normal. The Split Rock Lighthouse on the north shore of the Lake Superior has a window casing around its lens area. And on those windows, they installed shades. The intention of these shades were to shield the heat of the day so that the keeper could go in and could clean and service the lens of this lighthouse. However, how foolish it would be were they to keep the shades pulled up at night, when the purpose of this lighthouse is to shine, to warn the mariners of the rocks below. And believer, listen to me tonight. How foolish it would be for you and I to know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. For you and I to know we're going to spend an eternity in heaven. But then for you and I to conceal that fact, to hide that fact, to not share that with anybody. Jesus says, men don't light candles to hide them. And Christians don't trust Christ to conceal it. It's not God's plan. It's against the plan that God has for us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Can I tell you who's suffering tonight from the fact that we're hiding our light? The people who don't even know Jesus Christ. I have no doubt that you and I in the next 7 days will cross paths with somebody that is headed for an eternal home in a lake of fire away from God. That's a sad reality. But you want to hear a sadder one? We're the light of the world. We're supposed to let our light shine. When we don't let our light shine, the hope that they have is gone. What they need most is hidden from them by us who know better. Say, Brother Rule, why would people hide their light? Well, let's look at some reasons for preventing the shining. For some, it might be popularity, knowing that if they let their light shine, it's going to make them unpopular with some people. And there's no doubt, as our pastors preached in the context of culture in which we live, that if we're going to shine brightly for the Lord, there's going to be some people that that is offensive to and they don't like it. But I want to encourage you that while there may be some relationships that would not endure you shining brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ, may you and I never get to the place in our Christian life where we value anyone else's opinion over God's opinion of our life. It is God that wants you and I to shine. It is God who we're going to give an account for at the end of our life. And it is He who we want to please with every breath that we draw. We want to make sure that our light is shining, irregardless of what others may think. In fact, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord. Let your light so shine. For some, there may be fear that there's some positions they may no longer hold if their light shone brightly. There may be a promotion you're passed over for. There may be a particular option at work that you're not given. Listen, our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth of every mine. Amen. He doesn't need your raise, overtime, new position, or anything else to take care of you. He just wants you to shine. Being obedient to God and blessed by Him is the greatest security you'll ever have. And if anything in our life that we're pursuing is causing us to veer from that path, we need to get rid of it tonight. Lord, forgive me for compromising my own light that I might do this or go here or climb this ladder or accomplish this or secure this or plan for this or somehow have this in the future as if I don't serve a God who can handle it. But letting my light shine and not putting it under a bushel. We often dim our light if we fear some type of persecution, but the Bible says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Listen, we're going to face some reasons to begin to kind of hide the light, but Jesus says, don't do that. Men don't light a light, a candle, to put it under a bushel, but they let it shine as a city on a hill and as a candle in the house, and we don't want to do that. But what are some resources that people use in the preventing of their shining? Well, in this text, it's the bushel. He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. And here the word bushel refers to the grain measure which is found in the house. And it represented their money or their business or their commerce. And the idea was they couldn't give that up in order to shine. And Jesus was saying, listen, don't let the bushel get in the way of your witness. To put it in modern day vernacular, don't let your materialism get in the way of your witness. Nothing is more important than letting your light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't let the bushel get in the way. We are here but for a vapor. That's it. We're going to spend an eternity in heaven. Amen. So we'll do all of us well every day to live with eternity in mind. Let's not hide the candle we have, the one lone addition of hope that we can add to a dark and dying society and culture under a bushel for fear that we might somehow not accumulate or somehow amass or somehow have all that we so desire, for we can desire nothing greater than to hear someday, thou good, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and oh what a blessing it would be to walk in the pearly gates and to see people in whom we invited to a Restart Sunday on October the 18th, and they heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they walked an old-fashioned aisle, and they got on bended knee, and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. What is greater than that? Amen. Whatever it is, the bushel in our life tonight that is preventing our shining, may we leave it here and say, God, forgive me and help my light to shine. Amen. Men don't light a candle to put under a bushel. But in other gospel accounts of this record, in Mark 4:21, we see, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? In Luke 8:16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth the vessel or put it under a bed. Jesus says, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel and hide the light. You don't light a candle and put it under a bed and hide the light. The bed here would refer to leisure. Sometimes we can become so involved in pleasure seeking that we don't have time to shine brightly. I mean, we can know everything there is to know about our fantasy football team and make sure we're winning, but we don't have time to memorize the Romans Road. I mean, we know exactly the yards and the stats and the next-gen stats and the this and the that and how we're doing and how we rank and where we are in the pool and all of that. But I mean, to have time, seriously, brother, first of all, come to a dinner and take a track and drive to a map and knock on a door and invite somebody to church, you want me to be that fanatical? And the idea of the bed sometimes is just straight up slothfulness. Jesus said sometimes people take the one light I gave them to make a difference and they put it under a bed. In plain day vernacular, he says they're lazy. It's work to shine your light. It takes guts to shine your light. It takes an effort to try to make a difference for the cause of Christ. But God says, listen, Lancaster Baptist Church family, Brother Rule, the world is dark and we need your light and we need to shine like a city on a hill. So don't leave it under the bed and don't leave it under the bushel. We need it to shine for God's honor and glory. But then in Luke 11:33, he says, no man when he hath lighted a candle putteth it in a secret place, referring to here a basement or a closet or a storage area of some sort. And Jesus is saying they're not hiding under a bushel. They're not hiding it under a bed. And they're not hiding under a secret place. And the analogy here of a life that is low in conduct or morality, or in other words, there's defiled living that is preventing the light from shining out as it should. And church family, I just want all of us to be encouraged tonight. God gave you and I a light. What are we doing with it? And tonight, as we look at our light, nobody else in the room, just us and God, if we discover tonight that this light is under a bushel, I believe God desires for you and I to bring that bushel and leave it here. If it's under a bed tonight, God desires for you and I to realign our priorities and think of eternity. And tonight, if it is in the basement, God prefers that you and I come to an old-fashioned altar and get that right. And say, God, if there's something in my life that's dimming my light, that pulls from the confidence that I could have to go invite somebody to Lancaster Baptist Church, because what if they saw where I was last week? What if they read what I posted? What if they heard what I said? Nobody would take me seriously. It would just be a joke. Then let's not distinguish our light over it. Let's get with God over it and say, God, you forgive me. I don't want to lose my chance to make a difference. I don't want to lose my chance to shine. I don't want to forfeit my opportunity to get something done in this lost and dying world. I want to shine and I want to shine brightly. Let me get this right. Well, we've got to distinguish these resources in our life. Why? Because there's retribution. If you and I prevent our life from shining, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 10, if you will, and you're doing great. We're in Matthew 5. Flip over to Matthew chapter number 10. Christ does not want you and I to hide the fact that we are Christians. God wants us to have our light shining. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Listen, if Jesus has an option whether or not to deny me or to lift me up in heaven, I would like him to lift me up. And if I can do something about that here by my light shining brightly for him, then that's what I want to do. Men don't take a candle and hide it under a bushel. It's not the way God intended it to be. Oh, will there be reasons? Of course there will. There's always temptations to do the wrong thing, and Satan will always have the resources handy and available for you to accomplish that. But you and I, through the discernment that we heard preached about this morning, as we exercise the truth of the Word of God, have got to look at our life and say no to the bushel, and no to the bed, and no to the basement, and take our light and shine. And shine. Where? Fourthly, let's look at the place where to shine. Look at verse 16, and you're doing great, and we're just about done. Let your light so shine before men. We are to shine before men. This here is a picture of the world. And this place, first of all, is a dark place. Again, men is a reference here to the world. And the world is in darkness. And we know the world is in darkness. And the reason the world is in darkness tonight is because of sin. That's exactly why the world is in darkness, is because of the rampancy of sin in our culture. And you know what they need? Light. And you know who has the light? We do, because God gave it to you and I, and He tells you and I to shine and shine brightly in the world where it is needed most. Can I say this tonight? It's awesome that we're in church tonight. And it's great that we have a copy of God's Word. And it's great that we're singing songs and we're saying amen. And we're giving in the offering and we're participating in worship. All of that is awesome, and we all need it probably more than we even get advantage for it now. But can I tell you something? Far more than we need your light in this room at this moment, we need it tomorrow morning when you go to work. Amen. Because that's a much darker place. I mean, if I pulled out a flashlight right now and used it to illuminate my way around this chair, on this platform, and down these steps as to be careful, as not to miss the mark, you would look at me as foolish. Burrow, what are you doing? The lights are on. You don't need a flashlight. You can see just fine. Put it away. You look ridiculous. But if none of the lights in this room are on, and I had a flashlight out to illuminate my way, well, that's exactly when you would need that light. And thank God for a place we can come that is full of light. Amen. But the idea, just as we heard preached this morning, is not so that we can come and say, nice light. Whoo, nice light. Oh, this is awesome. Look at all this light. Wow. No. It's to come get a recharge. It's to come put the batteries on charge. It's to come to kind of clean off the lens. It's to come to make sure the bulb is in good working order. It's to make sure that my light is as bright as it possibly can be, so that when I go out in the world tomorrow and I begin to interact with people who don't know Jesus Christ, whom God loves and whom Jesus died for, that my light would shine as bright as it possibly can, because it is to shine in a dark place. And Christian, thank God we're here tonight. Oh, but may we get our light charged and ready and clean so that we can go out and shine in the world. We are to shine in a dark place. The world is at war with God. While God is seeking to reconcile His enemies and make them His children, and He has made you and I the ambassadors of that message. That's our job. Take it to them. We're to shine in a dark place. We're going to say this quickly. It's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place because the Bible says in John 3:20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." In Proverbs 29:27, "An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked." Listen, when you take a bright light and you shine it in a dark place, get ready for some opposition. How do you like bright light early in the morning? We don't, do we? We get up and, I mean, we think, boy, this is what it must have felt like on the Damascus Road. I mean, it's just so bright. Give me some time. We don't like it bright. As soon as we get up, we're coming out of a dark place. And as you and I take our light into a dark world, it's a weighty responsibility. It's been said, "Woe to the man who seeks to shed a brilliant light in a place where people want to keep in darkness and shadow." And I say all that to say this: we can't do this in our own power. We can't do this in our own strength. This is why we have to start with the candle in the house. And our own time with God, and in His Word, and in prayer, and an assessment of our life that it's clean. Then we can go, and to the best of our ability, we can shine like a city on a hill. But it's going to be dangerous, and not everybody's going to like it. And some will ridicule and mock, and some will turn away. And at the end of a day of doing that, no doubt we'll be in need for some more time over here and saying, "Lord, will You strengthen me again? Because I want to go out, and I want to shine for You." The place we are to shine is before men. Let Your light so shine before men. Why? And in closing, can I show you the purpose of shining? Look at verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It's a twofold purpose. First of all, it's to enlighten, that they may see your good works. The Christian's job of shining is so that people can see their good works and begin to understand how they should live. It is not so that people can praise you. This is what the Pharisees did. The Bible says in Matthew 23:5, "But all the works they do for to be seen of men, that they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." The pharisaical view of light shining was, "Oh, look at my light, and look at its brightness, and look at its purity, and look at its lumens, and look at me, I am great." Jesus says, "That's not what I'm talking about. I don't want you to shine so people look at you and think you're great. I want you to shine so people know how to live." That's what He said. "That they may see your good works." We're living in a day that's got marriage all fouled up. How about the decision for every marriage in this room to show how it should be? We're living in a culture where the home is eroding faster than we can track. How about a decision for every parent in this room? God, enable me and strengthen me and help me to rear my children and then nurture in the admonition of the Lord. We live in a culture that wickedness is just running rampant. Then how about a decision of, Lord, would you help our home to be holy? Boy, it's been a while since we've given something up. Lord, is there anything in our life you'd like us to get rid of? Anything we watched this month that you'd prefer us not to watch again? Any place we've gone that's not a place we should have gone? Anything we can do, Lord, to just kind of clean it up a bit so that our light is what it should be? Because as we shine, it's not about us, but we sure would like to provide a pattern. We'd like to be an example. We'd like to show others what good works are. The word good here means honest. Jesus is saying to these followers, let your light shine so that people know the honest way to live. Hey, how about when we go to work tomorrow, our work communicates how people should work. Hard. Full of integrity, honest, productive. The way we work should give us a platform to minister. The way we live should give us a platform to minister. The way we are a neighbor should give us a platform to minister. The way that we care about people should give us a platform to minister. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. We can look at the world today and say, boy, they've got it all backwards and everything is messed up and nothing is like it should be. And Jesus looks right back at us and says, they're watching you. And if we really want to do something about it, let your light shine. Let them see your good works. You say, well, that sounds like it's drawing the attention to me. It's really not. Because look at what he says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, the conduct of the godly is the only Bible many will ever read. And God says, I want your light to shine so that people have an example of what it is they're supposed to do. And as they learn of that example, and as they see me in you, it will bring glory to me. The idea of our light shining is not so that we somehow are on a pedestal. It's not about me, but it's about Him. And if God can use me in my life to point people to Him, that's what it's all about. He made me for this. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. This is the purpose of our life. This is why we draw breath, to point people to Jesus Christ. And whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we're to do it all to the glory of God. And church family, tonight, may we determine from the inside out, we are going to shine brightly to exalt the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To make Him known in our community. The world dishonors God. And the world needs to see you and I lifting Him up. Shining brightly that His name might be exalted. You say, Brother Rule, I want to make the name of the Lord exalted. I want to bring honor and glory to God. I want my name to shine. How can we do that? Wouldn't it be great if everyone in here could just reach one this fall season? Lord, You've given me a light. What a privilege. I'm going to pillow my head tonight knowing I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven. God, thank You. I don't know about a city on the hill, and I definitely have some stuff to clean up over here in my house. But I want to shine. Anything in my life that's preventing that, Lord, forgive me for that. And help me to get that right. Help me to get out there tomorrow and to get my light out. We've got 3 weeks to Sunday, October 18th. Restart Sunday. I think it would be a befitting prayer, Lord, with Your help, I want to shine like I've never shined before. And I sure would love it if you could use that to bring somebody with me on October 18th. Maybe a friend, a co-worker, or a neighbor. Maybe somebody we don't even know yet. We're going to meet in the next 3 weeks. But the whole idea is let that light shine. Ultimately, so that it brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the whole mission of the life of Christ was not to be ministered to, but to minister, to seek and to save that which was lost. All of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to repentance. So how can we glorify God? Let our light shine. As a result of that light, might we just reach one to come as our guest and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church family, it's a dark world. Jesus looks right back at us and says, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Whatever it is tonight that's hindering us from shining brightly, let's make it right. And let's go out of here shining, desiring to reach one, that the name of Jesus Christ might be exalted, magnified and glorified in their life.